cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry, our practice got a little carried away there into just a little time of worship ourselves here. Let's stand as we begin with a song of praise as we enter the presence of God.
In the beauty of we see you, Son of Righteousness. So we bring all that we possess, lay at your feet. In the place where your glory shines, Jesus, lover of all mankind, you have drawn us with love behind, make us come. I pause at your gates once more, as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King. Is the tribute that I could bring, but there ever a song to sing, that could ever express my that you've done. Could I ever conceive of this, all the depths and the heights and breadth of the riches I now possess, because of your love. So I pass at your gates once more, as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could pause at your gates once more, as my heart, my spirit soars, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King.
Good morning. Are we good? This is on? Yeah. I used to be a sound guy and used to hate when people do that, and now I get it. It's like there's a lack of security if you don't think the mic is on. Welcome. So glad you could be here with us worshiping this morning. If you're visiting here with us, we're so glad that you could be here. Also, if you're looking for any information on the church, we have a Facebook page and a website. It's all in the bulletin here. Or if you like people a little more, there's a lovely desk out here we call the Hub. There'd be people glad to meet you, greet you, and tell you everything that's going on within the church and how we'd love for you to be a part of it. A couple announcements to go through, a couple quick ones to start. We are doing some kitchen decluttering. So over the next 2 weeks, as you go into Fellowship Hall for some coffee and refreshments, there will also be a table full of containers and things that have been left over probably the past year. Please dig through that, see what's yours. Anything left behind will be donated to charity. So if you don't look through, thank you anyways. Your donation is welcome. We also have the next seniors luncheon coming up. That'll be Wednesday 24th, so make sure to mark that in your calendars. We also have the privilege of having Right Now Media. We're going to actually host a seminar called the Work as Worship Conference, which is ironically also the title of today's sermon with our lovely pastor. But what we get to do is we get to come in this building and host a multitude of churches. This is going to be a fantastic workshop. There's list of names there. Matt Chandler sticks out. He's one of my personal favorites. It's just a real opportunity to get together and learn more and fellowship together in that. So mark that in your calendars. We're on our final two here. One is massive. Church at 6. It's our young adults group. We're going to start Alpha start February 4th. If you don't know what Alpha is, it's basically a series of videos that helps explain the very basics of the gospel and the faith we believe. And Alpha is designed to really allow people, especially that don't believe what we do, to come in and ask questions and have really great discussion over this. So that'll be for any young adults on February 4th. To come in. If you know them, invite them. It's going to be a wonderful time. There'll be refreshments and everything. That's usually enough to bait young adults into the church. Finally, the day has finally come. You can register for our winter congregational retreat. Just so you know, there's two options. You can spend the entire weekend with us, but just to be warned, that's first come, first serve. So is if you want rooms to stay and all the rest of that, you need to get the hub and sign up right away. There's also a day retreat for people that just want to come up for the Saturday, and there will be a bus for that to help with the transportation of that. But the whole theme is going to be happy, and hopefully that permeates all through. We have a wonderful speaker in Paul Racine. I know Paul, and he's going to be fantastic. So please don't miss out on this. If you want to sign up, it'll be at the hub. And if you don't believe me on how awesome this is going to be, I'm going to show you a video from last year.
Let's pray. Our loving God, we thank you for your call upon us to gather together with brothers and sisters in Jesus, to be together in your presence. And we thank you that you have promised to be where your people are gathered. So we claim that promise and know you to be here with us this day. Bless us that we would be open to you and be aware of your presence, that we might truly worship you as you and you alone are worthy. Bless us with your grace and your mercy. Lord, forgive our sins, heal our brokenness, renew us that we should live for you. Bless us now to give glory to you and to be a blessing to one another. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.
A few years ago, there was a doctor in training from Israel that came to study with me. And when she came, I got to know her, and we had a chance to just talk about the differences in our faith, and we've subsequently been corresponding a little bit. And I was surprised that when we were talking about God, that she always put a G and then an asterisk and then D. And I was reminded that in the Hebrew tradition, you don't write the word of God. That the word God is such a holy thing that that you wouldn't actually want to put it down on paper. And so I've been, in my correspondence with her, I always do that. And it reminds me of how great the name of God is, how amazing the name of God is. And I'm just going to read from you the psalmist who also agrees with this. He says in Psalm 113, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is to be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised." We're going to sing a song in a few moments. We're going to start with something else, but we're going to sing a song in a few moments that just praises the name of God. But let's stand as we sing another song first.
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love, it will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In my troubled sea, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will just promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Morning, I'll rise and sing. My God's love, it will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will just promise, you will carry me safe to shore.
How long? No equal, now and forever. Invite the children to come on up front here, front pew, please. Thank you. Oh, kitty, we're going to squish right in here. There we go. There's still more room. Here. There's lots of room right in here. If you want mommy to sit with you, that's fine. Yeah. Can you guys push down some more? Because I want you to be able to see this. So can you come up here? Come on up here. Yeah, right in here. You need to be able to see it. Okay. So I need somebody that's not going to peek to hold this for me for a few minutes. Who's not going to? You're not going to peek? All right. Okay. Good. So this morning I wanted to read a scripture, which you can probably help me read because you're going to know this scripture, right? This is from John 3:16. And who knows what that is? Let me know it. Okay, let's do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, what does that mean? We know that God loves us, right? He loves us very much. But what does it mean that God said, if we believe in him, who believes in God? That we would have eternal life, right? So, let's see this now. I have in here present. Can we get presents from God? He already gave us one, didn't he? A big one. So in here, I do have the gift that he gave us. Let's see, who can read? You can read. What's he give us?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. And that's our present from God that he gave to us. If we believe in Jesus, that he is our Lord and Savior, he gives us a gift of eternal life. Now, we need to know what that means, right? Well, you know that everybody dies eventually, right?
Yeah.
Yep, they do. But we don't have to worry when we die because we go to heaven with God and he gives us eternal life. That means that we live forever with him in heaven. Can you imagine that? It's going to be incredible. And that's the gift that God gives us. And, you know, he gives us all kinds of things. And that's why we're learning about what he gives us in the Bible. Because we all know, we've been saying this every week, haven't we? What it says in the Bible is true. And you can believe it, and you can trust it. So God gives us that gift. So let's not forget that he's given us that gift of eternal life, okay? Parents, we're going to be in Campbell Hall this morning. We have a few weeks left of our film series that we're doing out there. Let's have a prayer together before we go out. Heavenly Father,
we thank you
that you loved us so much,
that you sent Jesus
to die for us and to live for us, and that we have eternal life in Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's go up.
I'm going to read from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praise of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praise and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. We're going to continue to worship God by having the ushers come forward as they receive the offering.
We come to you to receive.
We're reading this morning from the book of Colossians, Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Tyler mentioned in our announcements, we are hosting a streamed video conference that's coming up at the end of February that will be looking at how the work we do day by day can and should be worship to the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to steal a conference's thunder, especially when we have someone like Matt Chandler is going to be a part of it. I'm thinking he's probably going to do a better job than I am able to do. But in fact, the organizers of the conference have asked all the host churches to present this within a few weeks before the conference to get people thinking about how when we go to work on Monday morning or on Wednesday midnight or whenever it is that we go to work, that when we begin work, we are being called to worship. So that's what we're doing today, looking at work as worship. And we begin with a brief passage in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Now, some people love this book of wisdom literature. I am not one of them. It is not my favorite book in the Bible. Far from it. I find it a bit of a downer. And people who love it really get angry at me when I say that. I apologize. But I think this, you know, it tells you something about what's going on here. I hated all the things I had to toil for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish, yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This, too, is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all their own to another who has not toiled for it. This, too, is meaningless and a great misfortune. Now, the teacher or preacher who is the author of this book, tradition tells us, Solomon, David's son, he was looking for meaning in life and looked at a variety of different aspects of life, searching for meaning. And here, he was looking for meaning in his work, and he was struggling to find that meaning. He saw that everything that he had gained, everything he had earned and achieved was going to be left to someone else. And by what he wrote, the assumption was that he figured whoever got it wasn't going to be worthy of it. So he either didn't have children or wasn't very impressed with his children. But he did, in the end, find a measure of meaning in his work. As we read in the same chapter, Ecclesiastes 2:24, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. He realized that his work permits him to eat and drink and find satisfaction and enjoyment in life, and that all of this is a gift from the Lord. And anyone who has ever had difficulty in finding a job knows that a job is a gift of God. And good gifts from the Lord ought to lead us to worship him in thanksgiving. But there's a lot more to finding work as worship than just worshiping God because we have work. And we find that more in the New Testament. In Paul's letter to the church in the town of Colossae, which is in modern-day Turkey, he wrote about followers of Jesus striving to imitate Jesus' own life. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity, or perfect harmony, as another translation writes. These are the virtues and qualities that Christians are to have and are to live day by day and year by year. The passage goes on to say that followers of Jesus are to live at peace with each other. We are to be thankful and we are to encourage each other and even challenge each other in thankfulness to the Lord. And the passage concludes with a summary verse that is our focus today. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, everything you do, every word you speak, every action you make, everything, the whole thing. Getting the point? Okay, we'll come back to that. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it. Say it. Do it as if you had Jesus' name printed on your shirt. Say it. Do it as if someone proclaimed that you were a follower of Jesus just before you spoke. Or just before you did what you were about to do. Do it all. Say it, do it as if Jesus were standing there right beside you. Because by the Spirit, he kind of is. But do it as if Jesus was bodily standing right beside you. There's a similar verse in 1 Corinthians. Paul concluded his discussion about whether or not it was appropriate for Christians to eat meat that could have possibly been offered in a pagan sacrifice. And he concludes that passage by saying, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Do it all for the glory of God. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. These are worship concepts. When we speak and act in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are doing his will. And when we do his will, we are offering worship to him. When we speak or act in the name of Jesus, we are worshiping him. When we speak and act in a manner that gives God glory, we are worshiping the Lord. In a general way, these verses are asking the question, do these words I am about to speak glorify God? Does this thing I am about to do give glory to the Lord? Can I say these words in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can I do this thing in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can I thank God through Jesus by saying this or by doing that? And this is for all of life. This is not just for Sunday mornings. This is for all of life. So back to the whatever you do. The call that Paul places upon followers of Jesus is that everything we say and everything we do should be said and done in Jesus' name and for God's glory. That is, everything we say and do ought to be worship offered to the Lord. This is not about duty. This is not a legalistic direction on what we are supposed to say and do. But it is about gratitude to the Lord because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to say and do everything in Jesus' name and for God's glory because of the gospel, in the gospel and through the gospel. This is for all of life. But today we focus particularly on that part of life that we call work. And this is for all of us because we all work. Young people work because school is work, is it not? School is so work, yeah. Raising kids is work. Caring for a family is work. Your career, obviously, is work. A McJob, even, is work. And in retirement, people find all kinds of things to do that is work. So let's hear those verses again in terms of what you are going to be doing at work tomorrow morning or later this week. Hear these verses in the context of the work that you do. In whatever you do, for work, at work, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, for work, at work, do it all for the glory of God. This has a bearing on the kind of work that we do. Because frankly, there is some work that just does not give God glory. There is some work that we cannot do in the name of Jesus. Hitman. Despot. Loan shark. Don't you love it when the preacher draws attention to sin that has absolutely nothing to do with your life? So let's draw a little closer then, shall we? Any work that abuses people in any way, any work that uses people in any way, any work that is unjust or oppresses people cannot be done in Jesus' name and does not bring God glory. I believe that God does have a plan for each of us. God has work that he wants us to do. There are those who define vocation fairly narrowly, that it has to be like religious work or professional work. But I believe that God has plans for all of us. And when we fulfill those plans, when we enter into the work that God calls us to, we are in a vocation of God's calling. Be that as administrator or physician, florist or lawyer, waste management technician. Gotta love that garbage man, you know, can't say garbage man anymore. Social worker, health aide, retail clerk, and the list goes on and on and on and on. We worship the Lord in doing his will and in using the gifts that he has given to us. And if we are following God's direction for our life, we're going to find that. We're going to find that the work he wants us to do is connected with the gifts that he's given to us. And I think if we're in work that does not use the gifts that God's given to us, maybe we're not in the work that God wants us to do. As Christians, the kind of work that we choose to do must be work that we can do in Jesus' name and that will give God glory. But all this has bearing not just on the kind of work we do, it has bearing on the specifics of our jobs, of the work that we do. Whatever you do at work, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Tomorrow at work, wherever you work and whatever you do, will you do your tasks in the name of the Lord Jesus? If so, the work you do will be worship to Him. You don't have to put up a sign saying that you're doing it in Jesus' name. You don't have to tell everybody that you meet that you're doing it in Jesus' name. But you can offer your day and your projects and your tasks to the Lord and simply be conscious of the fact that you do them to honor the Lord. And in doing so, you worship Him. Whatever projects, whatever tasks you'll be faced with tomorrow or later this week, do them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do them for God's glory. And your work will be worship. You will also likely have to interact with other people tomorrow. Co-workers, clients, the boss, employees, patients, customers, the public. Relate to those people with whom you interact tomorrow, this week, in Jesus' name and for God's glory. Whatever you say to people tomorrow, say it in Jesus' name, and your work will be worship. Again, you don't have to mention Jesus in every conversation, but allow Him to fill your conversation. Know the Lord is there with you in your conversations with people tomorrow, and your work will be worship. And you may be off your game tomorrow. So I'm going to take a sip of water so you can actually see what's going on there. Happens to all of us. We're off our games at times. Maybe the boss tears a strip. He's dropping a big cake. And boss tears a strip off of you tomorrow. You messed up. You did something wrong. Maybe that toxic person in the office decides to focus on you tomorrow. You slept badly. All kinds of reasons can go into us having a bad day at work. And if that is the case, take the time to pray that the Lord will see you through the day, see you through your work, so that even when you're having a bad day, you can still speak and act in Jesus' name and for God's glory. Because even a bad day at work can be worship. Sometimes, even especially a bad day at work can be worship. And how we respond to that. You could be asked to do something unethical tomorrow at work. Paul wrote, "And whatever you do at work," is the parentheses, "whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." That does not mean that we can just say "in the name of Jesus" as some magic words that will purify whatever we are doing. In Jesus' name means to act and to speak in accordance with Jesus' will. We need to act, we need to speak in Jesus' name in accord with His will. Whatever you do, everything you do should be said and done in Jesus' name and for God's glory. That means our lives, our whole lives, should be worship to the Lord. True of what we do on Sunday morning, true of what we do in our life groups, true of what we do in all our ministries, but also to be true with what we do at work, whatever our job is. Charles Wesley, the minister and incredible hymn writer, understood this, and we're going to sing this hymn at the end of the second service. "Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go, my daily labor to pursue. Thee, only thee, resolve to know in all I think or speak or do. Our worship does not end at the benediction. Our worship does not end when we go to bed on Sunday night. Our worship is the lives that we live, even when we're at work. And may your work tomorrow, this week, be worship to the Lord. And may you know it as worship. For whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, do it all for God's glory. Let's pray together. Our loving God, we thank you for the gift of work. We thank you for the privilege of work, particularly when we have a job that we love and enjoy and people that we enjoy working with. We thank you for the goodness of work that permits us to eat and drink and to find satisfaction and enjoyment in life. And we thank you for the gift of work that allows us, maybe even challenges us, to worship you through what we do at work. We thank you for jobs that provide for us, provide for our families, jobs that enable us to give and to support your work, jobs that truly worship you. Lord, we pray your blessing upon those who are unemployed or those who are underemployed or those who are in jobs that do not use their gifts or those who are in jobs that they just hate every day getting out of bed and going to. We pray that you would provide good work, blessed work, and work that gives you honor. Help us to always remember that worship is so much more than what we do when we gather on Sunday mornings, that it encompasses all of life, even our work. We pray, Lord, that as we live out the gospel, as we worship at work, that somehow that will be seen by those around us. It would be a means of beginning to share the gospel, that your love and grace should be known. Lord, we pray for this world and the needs within. And today, as we look at work, we pray for all those in this world who are oppressed within the workplace, who are living in dangerous conditions, who are working almost as slaves or as slaves. We pray for release. We pray for wholeness. We pray for your intercession, that this world's clamoring for the cheapest and the easiest will be done away with, so that we can recognize that the things we buy needs to support the people who make it around this world. We pray your blessing upon this city and upon the various needs that are within this city. In these cold days, Lord, we pray for the homeless to have warm places to be. We pray for those who are working outside, and we pray for protection from the cold. And we pray, Lord, for our fellowship here at St. Paul's. We pray that you would use us within this community and this city to be a beacon of your gospel. And we pray your grace and blessing upon your people who have particular need. We pray for Verla and for Joan. We pray for Janine and Heather. And we pray for Sue. And we pray that your grace would be poured out in incredible measure upon the need of these people. And Lord, we offer all these prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
hope you will all join us in the fellowship hall for some coffee and juice afterwards. Let's stand now as we sing our final song of praise to God.
Lord of all creation,
just a reminder that if you would like someone to pray with you, we have that opportunity in the back corner, right directly following the service. We also have a life group that meets in 15 minutes after you grab coffee with Beverly Troop in Jeremy's office down that hall, just off the main office, to talk about the sermon, if you would like to discuss that. I won't be there. I've got another church to do, but you can talk about it. Now, my sisters and brothers, you've got work to do. Sorry. You got work tomorrow, this week, and may it be worship, and may you know that. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you and fill you now and always. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, gotta go to work tomorrow morning.
Jesus.
Okay.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy.
See, a real man can handle that, right? Like, you know. Yeah, of course. Tell the world of the treasure you